Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit leading us, every family, every dad, every mom, every teacher at GGCA, missionaries, pastors in the country, Baptists, Pentecostals, Catholics, anyone born again and indwelt by your Spirit, lead us, Lord, and as a body, Lord, for Bible college students, for the focus, for prayer to move, to do things, Lord, from heaven. What's in heaven, bind on the earth, and it's bound in heaven, and it's therefore bound on the earth. What's released in heaven is released on the earth, Lord, by prayer. For people to come home to their faith, the prodigals to come home to the faith, Lord. For hurting people, confused and troubled, to be set free, liberate the captive, set free the captive, and the healing of the blind, and restore the soul. For you are the good shepherd, and you restore souls, Lord. Oh God, we pray, thank you. Your house is a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer. We have no time limit. We have no rules. We only have faith and love in our hearts from you, God. You gave us, by your grace, you gave us a new life, new man, the new man, the precious hidden man of the heart. Lord, yes, your work on earth is happening. It's happening your way. You are testing hearts. You are giving grace. You are answering prayers. You are hearing us right now. You hear us. And we are asking to send laborers. We're asking to raise up men and women that follow and trust and grow in your grace. We're asking, we're believing. We're asking for healing in a family, Lord. We're asking for a miracle of a healing in family. We're praying for people who have addictions that tear them apart, addictions that tear families apart, addictions that tear people apart, Lord. That cannot happen. It cannot happen, God. That cannot happen. There has to be healing, God. There has to be answers, Lord. You have to answer us, Lord. You have to answer us, God, we pray. Jesus. Yes, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Lord. May you saturate all of us with your Spirit of prayer. May you teach us about prayer. May you lead us in prayer. Bless the weekend with the marriage getaway. It's not a getaway, but a marriage seminar here on the property for the coming weeks. And Euricon, the Europeans would be stirred to go to Euricon. They would be stirred tonight. They're sleeping probably right now, but they are waking up saying, what about Euricon? I've got to reserve my ticket. I need to go. I must go to Euricon. And gather us, Lord, and bless that time. And also, Lord, our counselors, Pastor Hadley, Megan, Anna, Ramir, Pastor Love, Pastor Sleva, Sidoni, Carrie, Sirpa. Lord, thank you for these people. Give wisdom and guidance in your spirit, Lord, by your grace. And anoint every pulpit, everywhere, Pennsylvania, Montreal, Maine, Massachusetts, Florida, with a fresh anointing, Texas, Manny in California, Las Vegas, Dr. Chung, John Perkins, Jack Wheatley, Don Barnes, precious people everywhere, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit and teach us your way, we pray. We pray in your name, amen, hallelujah, amen, praise God, oh yeah, come on, I believe that. All right, a couple of short points here. First one is in Jude 20, and this is a good verse for you to hide in your heart. But you, brethren, it says, but you, brethren, if you look at the book of Jude, you know, this one page, but you look at the beginning of it, and then you see the falling away that he's writing about, the falling away from the faith, kind of crazy people that are actually evil people. There are three men mentioned in verse 11, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. And we have taught on that many times, actually, but you have the falling away, they are spots, verse 12. You have seven metaphors for these people. They are people that are clouds without water. They are ministers, but they have false teaching. They give promises, but cannot deliver. They are trees, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, verse 12. And I'm not getting into it. I'm just making a context for the verse we're going to read. They are raging waves of the sea. They have not the spirit, verse 19. They separate themselves, sensual, having not the spirit. So that's kind of the world that we live in today. We live in a religious world and a secular world where there is a lot of noise, a lot of activity, a lot of talking without the Spirit. Okay, they are mockers. They are mockers in verse 18. Loud and talking, etc. But there's no power there. There's no power in their life. They are not godly. There's no real influence. There's no spirit of love. There's not God, is not there. So that's verse 20 is the verse I want to make reference to here. But you, beloved, that's you and me. We are loved. But you, so we are different. But you, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. All right, so this is how I see it. I tried to explain it in with a picture, but this is how I see it, that we are often, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and he's in us, and he's willing to minister to us, and he does it. He ministers to us. He fills us. He also speaks to us, but he needs words. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, but he needs words. So what words does he use? But these words. These are the words that he wrote in 2 Peter 1:21. He wrote these words. So these are called the sword of the Spirit. So you have two parts. You have the Spirit, and the Spirit has a sword, and these are the sword is in your meditation with the words, and you're exploring in your heart and in your mind words. So you have these words that the nature of them is to build us up. The nature of the Spirit is to encourage you. The nature of the Spirit is to walk alongside us, to be with us. The Holy Spirit, the nature of Him is like Christ, to serve us, to wash our feet. But Christ is gone, but He sent the Spirit, who's the same as Him, different person in the Trinity, but the same Spirit and mind, which is to help us, aid us, speak to us, build us up. So without it, it's a very easy, gravity pulls us down. Life can pull us down, but the Spirit doesn't. The Spirit builds you up. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit. So in your heart, when you think like in your mind and in your heart, you are negative or discouraged, you can live in that. And that's where a lot of Christians do live. But they need to learn, as the text says, look at verse 20. It says, but you are not being torn down or deceived, or you're not like clouds without water or raging waves of the sea, but you, beloved, are built up and being built up by the Spirit. Verse 20, it says, but you build up yourselves. Now, why does it say you do it yourself? Why does it say, but you yourself are building up? You are building up yourself, you yourselves, because I have to decide what thoughts I'm thinking. I have to decide I have to decide if I agree with what the Spirit is saying to me. When the Spirit says you are loved, I have to make a decision to accept that and say, I am loved. And you follow the Spirit in the thought, like the Spirit will say, you are loved. And I will say, yes, I am loved. Show me how I am loved. And then I think of Matthew 26, Jesus in Gethsemane, crying, take the cup from me. Take the cup from me 3 times. And he's saying, but I will do your will. And the Father loved us and gave His Son. So this is how you live your new life. You live your new life by thinking the thoughts that the Spirit gave. And those thoughts are the thoughts that build you up. Now, what does that mean? Build up in the inner man is in communion with God. And God is the one that relates to us in this grace, in this love, and is able to say to us things that are very important. They are very important, it's kind of like finding those thoughts and worshiping the God that gave them to us. So we are relating to God in faith. Look at the rest of the verse. It says, but you are building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That is apostolic faith. Your faith, it means the apostolic teaching. It's doctrinal teaching that is able to build you up. Now, somebody recently said what was it? We are not teaching about marriage, relationships, or saving money, or becoming wealthy, or succeeding, or how to raise a family. But we are primarily teaching the doctrines, the mind that is building us up in the faith that will help us enormously in raising a family, keeping my marriage together if it's possible. And I'm not saying that we are guilty of that. I'm just saying there's a good chance it is possible that as we walk in the Spirit, we're able to do a lot of things in life that we otherwise couldn't do. We're able to do a lot of things like that happen in life that without God, it wouldn't happen. But because God is in you, this is the meaning here. Look at verse 20. It says another part, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now let me comment on that here. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, then it says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is putting it out before you. I'm going to make a confession. Prayer for me sometimes is easily becomes like a religious exercise. I pray, and I pray the prayers that I should pray and the good prayers and so on. But I don't know that all the time I'm thankful for them, and I'm not evaluating it, but I want to make a point here. He said, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I think that has a specific meaning, that I sometimes am praying like, just, you know, I'm saying, okay, Lord, bless America. Okay, bless, I pray, Jesus, bless America, okay. Then I get off my knees and I go, what did I pray? Bless America. Yeah, that's a good prayer. Do you think that God is going to bless America? I don't know. I hope so. I prayed that. But I haven't really thought about it. But I said the prayer. But I haven't really thought about it. Or bless my uncle or my aunt, or go through a grocery list of prayers. So this is what I want to ask you. I want you to think about it with me. What if I don't know what to pray? So before I pray, I'm kind of walking around thinking about, what does the Spirit want me to pray? What is the Spirit? What's on the heart of the Holy Spirit for our church? What's on the heart of God for people in our church? What's God want? What's God doing? What is God? I don't know what it is. So I'm asking in my heart, and I'm also talking to God about it. I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to pray in a few minutes. I'm going to get on my knees, or even in a half an hour, but sometime I'm getting prepared. I'm thinking about it, and I want to be serious about it. What is it that you want? What kind of thing are you doing? How will you answer? What will you do? Lord, I'm asking you. And it isn't as if the Holy Spirit gives us really strong impressions all the time, sometimes. It isn't as if I can say this, it's this or that. I'm only presenting to you what I think this is, what I think we all understand, is an exercise that you are capable of. Unbelievers don't have this, but unbelievers have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And the Holy Spirit is the one that can pray. It says praying in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it say that? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? Now, if you've ever had a prayer time where you know it was the Holy Spirit that was in that prayer, and you had a prayer time, And you get off your knees and you go, whoa, I just did business with God. I did. I had a prayer. And that prayer, when I say, and I say amen, and I walk away, I go, something happened. And God did it. And he is praying, and he gave a prayer. And doesn't that make sense to us? It is like that. And I don't know how it is, because Jesus said it, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And I'm just saying that the noise of the world and the arrogance of the world and the way of the world, let it be. That is what it is. But that's not who you are. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. And you can walk in that edification, and that edification sticks with you. It does. It stays with you. That edification that builds you up in the most holy faith, and you're like really built up in it, and you're very relaxed, and you have a lot of joy and peace in your heart, and then you are, you know, walking and learning how to minister to people and listen to him and walk in the spirit and also pray in the spirit. And it's a beautiful thing. Okay, maybe that's it. I had one more thing. I guess it'll be another message. Yeah, I guess we'll do it another time. Okay, so, let's read verse 21, because it's too short, I guess, my message right now at this point, but it's good. Maybe we don't need a lot, but look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And I love that about many of the ministers that I listen to, Pastor Shibeli and many others, always coming back to the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Know that God is loving you. And you're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You're looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So I don't know why the thought keeps coming back to me. I was in Poland, 1979, I think. I was a guest speaker there at a small Bible school. And the memory comes back to me clearly, like many times, how we were at this Bible school, and humanly speaking, like there wasn't anything there. Like there just wasn't anything, humanly speaking, that I would be there or that we would be there. But seeking God to minister to these young people, and then the Lord doing it. It's almost like we all have memories in our lives where maybe you had absolutely nothing, but God was in it. Maybe you just had nothing at all, but God sent you, and God was in it. And don't worry about evaluating your life. Don't worry about evaluating whether you could do this or do that. Simply walk in the Spirit. When David went out against Goliath, you could say, it's a mismatch, not going to happen. David, what are you doing here? There's nothing here for you. There's nothing here for you. But the Spirit is saying, no, David, I'm in it. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm all over this. You are the person. And I want to say that about you. That you are the one. And don't care about the evaluations that happen in the world. Just you walk in the Spirit and enjoy that walk with God's mind and his thoughts and you walk in faith and in prayer, and we will see what God does. And he will take down an enemy who is a giant. And you'll say, how did that happen? And we are just here in the world to say, God is real. God loves you. God cares. God is at work. God uses you. Don't underestimate who you are. Don't underestimate this day of small beginnings. Don't underestimate the value of your words. Don't underestimate the value of your prayers. Don't underestimate the value of your love. Don't underestimate the value of your faith. Because our life is short. And we are those that are learning to be built up in our faith and pray in the Holy Spirit and keep ourselves in his love and look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? This is a precious assembly, very loyal, faithful people who walk in the Spirit and listen to what the Spirit says and are built up in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for that. And those listening, may God shower his blessing on all those listening, all those at home, all those that are hungry and thirsty, all those that are seeking and finding, in Jesus' name. If you never accepted Christ, come to him today. Say yes to Jesus. It's that simple. Jesus, come into my heart. In your name, I pray, amen. You know, I want to say one last thing about this. The Spirit can lead you in your thoughts so that the rap session is like very good because the Spirit is speaking, you know. A message can be so good because the Spirit leads us in our thoughts in the Bible and so encouraged. And a conversation at home can be so rich because of that too. And then your prayer life and meditation life also so rich because you're thinking those thoughts that come from the Spirit. And that's a great way to live. But Proverbs 15:4, if we could put that verse up because I've been waiting to share that sometime, but Proverbs 15:4, it says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it. All right, now a wholesome tongue is a spirit-filled tongue. Your tongue, you are in the Spirit. You are edifying. You are loving. You are wise. You have a wholesome tongue. But perverseness, that's when the tongue goes bad. And I start to criticize or tear down or can save things. What happens? It breaks the Spirit. My tongue, watch, praise is God. God, you're so great. Praise God, the songs tonight. Praise God, the Spirit of God. And they connect the words and the Spirit. And that's how we live. But the same thing in a negative way happens when I grieve. Or I'm murmuring or complaining. The Spirit is it's a breach in the Spirit. I think in King James it says breaks the Spirit. So that's all I want to say. I do think that my tongue, I can tell when a conversation is going south. Okay, when it starts to go into like talking about people. Or about things that are negative, and I'm realistic. But I also want to be wise. So that's another thing about walking in the Spirit. Okay, so praise God. He inhabits the praises of his people and being filled with the Spirit. And then direct and wise, absolutely. But a breach in it or perverseness in it is grieving the Spirit. Okay, amen.